Why did Jesus have to die? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Heavenly Father, we pray now for your divine anointing on this declaration of thy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, today we want to turn to our text, our biblical text in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 33. It is a section in reference to the crucifixion of Jesus. Quote, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour," that's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, "Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the spirit." Unquote. In the last several weeks, we have occupied ourselves with the death, the crucifixion of Jesus. We have looked at the events of his crucifixion as Mark has recorded them for us. We've looked at various physical aspects of the death of Jesus. But today, we want to begin to look at the spiritual and doctrinal meaning of the death of our Lord. So Jesus died, but why? He died on the cross. But why did he have to go through that much torture? Jesus' death was accompanied by bleeding. Why the bloodshed? These are the questions I'd like to address in the next few radio messages. Universally, there is a slowly growing movement that says that all religions are basically the same, and basically speaking, we all believe in the same God, and all our gods are the same. These are the kinds of things that are floating around, and I want you to know that you should never agree with such statements. The Bible tells us that you should only have one God, and that is the God who revealed himself through the Bible. I want to take you to the 20th chapter of Exodus today. We're all familiar with the Ten Commandments. They're found in Exodus 20. So let me ask you, how did God introduce himself when he gave those Ten Commandments? Listen to these words from Exodus 20. He said, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Now right here, my friend, in this passage, it tells us that not all gods are the same. It tells us there's only one God, and that we should pay attention to that one God, which is the God of Israel. That is a God that brought Israel out of Egypt. Again, people come to me and say, "Pastor Schulze, we all believe in the same God." I say, if you believe in my God, the Bible God, then you believe that God, the only God, is the one that brought Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. That's my God. That's the way God introduced himself when he gave the Ten Commandments. He's the one who saved Israel from slavery. The other gods did not care whether Israel would suffer in slavery another million years. And they don't care today what happens to Israel. Don't tell me all gods are the same when there's only one God. This is the only God I ever heard, the God who cared about the Jewish people who were in bondage, and he did something about it to bring them out of it, out of this bondage. This is the only God who cares about humanity, about all humanity. Look at the gods of Africa. What have they done for the African people? The people on the continent of Africa are still in darkness and poverty and misery. Their gods have done nothing for them. They have not brought them out of their bondages. The gods of Africa, some of them demand that if a first child is a girl, or if there are twins that are born to a mother, they ought to be buried alive. These are not my gods. My God is the God of Israel. The God of Israel cares. Wherever the God of Israel is worshipped, these terrible laws and practices are stopped. Islam does not have the same God as the Christians have. Their God is called Allah. And people say he's the same God as a Christian's God. I say not so. Allah does not love Israel, and their Allah would not bring the Jews out of bondage. Never. It says in the Quran that Allah is anti-Israel. My God, the Bible God, is pro-Israel. He is pro-everyone who comes to him for help. You take the Hindu gods, of which there are millions. What have they done for the Hindu people? What have they done to deliver them? For hundreds of years, if a woman became a widow in India, she would be burned alive on the stake. I want you to know that we have a God here, the God of Israel, who cares. Again, he does not just care. He does not just care for the Jewish people, but he cares for all people. Because God said to Abraham, the first Jew, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." It is through this God of Israel that Jesus came. Jesus shows his love for all people and having died for all people's sins on the cross. So let's get rid of this strange doctrine. All religions are basically the same and all lead to the same God. They do not. So we're back at these words again. I'm the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods. Our God is strongly pro-Israel, and if you're a Christian, you're strongly pro-Israel because God made a covenant with Israel through whom the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, will come to the world to save the world from sin. Now then, let's go on. I'm heading towards an explanation of the death of Jesus. I'm going there very slowly. So there's only one God who really cares, and that's the God revealed in the Holy Bible. And secondly, there's only one God who is the Holy God. In many cultures, they have gods of prostitution. In Bible days, there were temples of prostitution, and there are still temples of prostitution in India and other places as well. Our God is a holy God, and a holy God has standards. Do the other gods have standards? Tell me. And if they do, tell me what their standards are. Are they holy? A God without standards is an immoral God, is an undefined God, is a non-God. A God without standards lacks personality. Our God has standards, and his standards reflect his essence, his nature, his personality, and they are revealed to us primarily on Mount Sinai in the Ten Commandments. That's why it says in the Ten Commandments, I will give you the first three here. We shall have no other gods. The second one, do not use the name of this God in vain. And the third, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, so forth and so on. So this God we have then is the only true God, and there's none like him, there's none beside him, and he is a caring and holy God. Now this God, being holy, expects us to be holy, and he will only have fellowship with us if we are holy. A holy God will not have fellowship with unholy subjects. You cannot walk with God unless you're holy. This gets us to a dilemma, though, doesn't it? We know we need to be holy. The Bible tells us, "Follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We know we must be holy, but we cannot keep the standards of holiness. This is a paradox here. You know you can't keep the standards, but you know you must keep them. It's like telling a six-year-old boy he's in first grade, saying to him, you must understand trigonometry and calculus. But the mind of this boy is not capable at this point to understand higher mathematics. Well, how do you get him to understand trigonometry and calculus? The answer is by time, by growth, by learning and learning and studying more and more and reading more books. But my friend, this is not the way it works with God. No matter how much time you give to try to meet the holy standards of God, you'll never get there by time or effort. The only option you have left is to believe in a miracle. The only way to get to be holy, to live holy, so you can walk with God, is by miracle. Recall, at one time, man was holy. At one time, man walked with God, and it was back in the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve. They had fellowship with God, but then sin came in, and sin separated them from God. Sin always does that. So now, what we need is removal. The removal of sin from our lives by a miracle, so that we can be holy in a fellowship with God. And because God cares, and because God loves us, God has a remedy for this paradox, for this dilemma. He has a miracle for you and for me that will bring us into unbroken fellowship with Him. And this, my friend, will be the subject of our next radio program next week, the meaning and necessity of the death of Jesus to get us into fellowship with Him and His Father. Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning for this wonderful, wonderful story of Jesus having come to earth and how we have more, much more to learn about the marvel and wonder of this miracle of His love and Your love revealed to us through Him. We thank You, Lord, that You have a way out of any dilemma, any problem, because You said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We thank You today that You are at the right hand of the Father and that all power is given unto You. You are the mighty conqueror, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. We pray that You will awaken every sleeping soul to the reality of an eternity to come, either in the glories of heaven or everlasting darkness. Touch every heart listening. Let each heart be drawn to Thee. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, since we got a few moments left here, I want to give you my website address. So get paper and pencil ready and write down the website address if you're interested. Because on my website, you can get this radio program. Any of your friends can listen to it anywhere in the world, because you just click on the radio link from my website. You can listen to previous, to past radio messages. You can get articles I've written and books that I've written as well as you turn to my website. So here is my website. It is www.schultze.org. Schultze is spelled S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. Schultze. Let me give it to you again. Schultze is S-C-H-U-L, like in Lima, T-Z, like in zebra, E. www.schultze.org. Now, thank you for having listened to this radio program. Tune again next week at the same time over the same station. Let us learn more about why Jesus died.